Look down. What are your hands doing right now? Are they open? Are they closed? Are they occupied? My hands have been busy recently killing things. I know Dr. Williams has worked really hard to give the impression that I like to kill things, and he has said so many words: I kill joy, I kill fun, I kill student dreams. Those all may be true. But recently I've been killing mice. And, of course, not with my bare hands. If I could do that, I might catch them and actually just throw them out of the house. But I can't catch mice with my bare hands, so instead I set traps for them and cleverly put peanut butter on the trap, and then I catch them. So in the last month and a half, I've killed 6 mice in my house, which I confess to you is not because my house is untidy or dirty, but because our house is great, and who wouldn't want to live there? So, but my wife doesn't want to live with mice, so. But I want to talk to you, and that makes my hands deadly, right? That makes my hands deadly. I can kill things with my hands, just like you are killing something with your hands right now, something more deadly than mice, right? Something more deadly than killing mice. You may be killing time. And I want you to think about the fact that you are killing time right now, especially if your hands are occupied. You're killing time. And I'll kill 1,000 mice, and that makes my hands so much less deadly than the hands that kill time. I've asked students, what's so great about free time? And students have told me, well, obviously, Dr. Ward, free time is great because it's time without consequence and it's time without responsibility. Are your hands busy doing things that you think have no consequence and that do not require anything from you? Are your hands busy doing those kinds of things? So this we're going to talk about today, and simply because of this, that is a deadly point of view. The Scripture gives testimony to this. What does the Scripture say? If your hand causes you to sin, it doesn't say, stop doing that, put some gloves on, tie them up. It says, cut them off. Cut off your hand. And don't just cut it off and then look at it on the ground. Throw it away, because then you might hope, okay, well, I cut it off, but maybe now with modern medical science, they can quickly sew it back on again. Throw it away. So there are a couple ways that hands become deadly, specifically in regards to what they do when you use your hands in ways that impact your heart, right? This is why the Scripture is asking us to cut off our hands and throw them away, because they impact our heart, our soul, what we do with our hands. So there are a couple ways that we misuse our hands, and it leads to this kind of death. It does lead to a kind of death. The first one is hovering. So maybe your hands are hovering right now over a screen. You've heard Dr. Traub say, hey, get off the grid. Why? Because he's worried about you hovering over top of things rather than actually listening and understanding them. So you might have hyper hands. You can think about it this way. How fast can your hands go through your Snapchat feed? Are you pretty good? You have good thumbs? Can you get through your Snapchat feed quicker than most people? This is what Snapchat promises you, that if you use Snapchat, you will be using the fastest way to share a moment. Because after all, who would want to have a slow moment? I would rather have many, many fast moments. Right? You know, we could call those a McDonald's moment, right? As fast as possible. Eating. Whatever you want. It's kind of like water skiing. Lots of stuff happening below the water, but you're on the surface and you're skimming. You are skimming across the surface. Are your hands hovering? I want you to think about it in this way too. There's a difference between vocation. Vocation, as we understand it at Geneva, means living your life, being drawn forward with a purpose that puts your hands to work. And they dig in, and they dig in deep, and they get dirty. Hands, vocational hands, hands inspired by a vocation, dig in. They go down. Versus the kind of work that we would do, it's called working for the weekend. So the difference between vocation and vacation, I want to take a vacation. Why? So I can fill my hands with things that have no consequence or responsibility. And trust me, I love vacation. But the difference, vocation and vacation, I want you to think about that, because at Geneva College, we are definitely not training you for vacation. But hovering hands indicate a restless heart, a restless mind, a restless tongue. Matthew 5:30 talks about this. And at least the restless tongue is identified as evil. A restless tongue is evil. I wonder if the same is true for your hands. The second thing, hovering hands, deadly. Hanging hands. One of the difficulties of being a child, I've learned this having children, is that it's really awesome to spread things out. Kind of like hovering, right? You spread out your life by going through it so fast that you never drill down on any one of those particular moments. It's just spread all out before you. So my kids love to spread things out, but they hate putting things back into place. So the difference between spreading things out and putting them back into place is simply doing the same action in reverse. You take the thing that you picked up and took over here, and you put it back over here. So it's the same effort. It doesn't actually require any different action. They hate it. What do my kids do when I say, please pick up your toys? No, seriously, this is what they do. Okay. Their hands are hanging. Their hands are hanging at their side. I want you to think, what is your impossible task? What is your impossible task? What is the thing that you say, I can't do that? It's impossible. I'm not even going to pick my hands up. I can't do that. Dad, I can't pick up the toy. Look, it's so far down there. I can't pick it up. It's impossible. We do this. We say, that is impossible. The Lord is asking me to do these things. Someone is asking me to put this down. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's impossible. I can't do it. But the difference between I can't do it and I don't want to do it are so similar. My kids can pick up their toys. Of course they can. It's easy. It's one of the easiest things they do because they've spread them all out. I can, but I don't want to. I don't want to. These hands are deadly. They look pretty passive, but they are deadly hands. And in the right situation, they'll get you thrown in jail. You saw something wrong. You did nothing about it. You could have helped someone. You didn't. You stood there and watched them. Hanging hands are also deadly. Proverbs talks about this, 24:33, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little laying of the hands to rest, and poverty will be upon you like a bandit. I haven't ever met a bandit, but I don't think I want to meet one. It seems like they come at you really fast and stab you with something. All right, maybe I talk a lot about killing, but that's, you know, it's my ethos, right? So people with knives trying to stab you, want like an armed man. Not like an armed man as in a man with arms, but an armed man, a man with a gun or a knife, and it will kill you. It is deadly. Hanging hands will kill you. And they will probably, in some situations, provoke the death of other people. There's at least two kinds of poverty there. The first one is, I don't have any money, I can't go to Sheetz. The other one is, I have a poverty of spirit, so much so that no one will ask me to go with them to Sheetz. That's right, I am poor in spirit. Or, every time people ask me, I'm like, how far is that? I don't want to walk. Right? Poverty of spirit, same kind of thing, right? If people put their hands to work, we call them spirited people. And usually the things they touch come alive. They don't die. The third kind of way that you can use your hands that is absolutely deadly is hoarding. How many pictures do you own? How many pictures? Oh, let's just start with an easy question. How many pictures are on your phone? How many pictures? Some of you probably just looked at about 25 in the last 1 minute. Right? You're like, Dr. Woods is Snapchat. I'm going to try to work on this thing. My thumbs are slow. It does. It takes discipline. Takes discipline, work on it, okay? Right? How many pictures do you own? How would you feel if I said, delete them all? Delete all your pictures. How many do you need? Will you forget everything that's important in your life? How many pictures do you need? You'll probably look at 1,000 pictures just today. Just today you'll look at 1,000 pictures. How many do you need? Hoarding hands are deadly because they're full of stuff. They're full. They can't do anything else. We can see it's true because we hoard pictures. We hoard pictures, and that means that we're focused on the past, right? We can't let stuff go. It's just so many memories, so many memories. I just can't let them go. I can't let a single one go. So you live in the past. Your hands are full of the past. You can't live now with what your hands should be doing now. Interesting fact. Every picture, every text message, every other thing that you save, every paper you read in college, it's all history. None of it's about the present. It's all about things that have already happened. Are your hands full? Are your hands full? Unable to work now in the present. Of course, people don't just fill their hands with the past, they also fill their hands with the future. I'm sorry, I'm working on my education. I can't help you right now. My hands are full. I got lots of papers to write. Look at all these papers. I got a career to work on. Look at how big my career is. I got a big career. Okay? I'm sorry, I can't help you. I am working on my career. I'm going to have a professional career. And then it's going to get more stuff. So my hands are going to have to go out here somewhere, okay? So we hoard in the future. And then the problem is that you've got no time for the present. where your hands actually are. Your hands aren't in the past, and your hands aren't in the future. They're here now, because they're still on your body, unless you had to cut them off in that first one, right? And then you should seek immediate medical attention, okay? Right? Wasn't serious about that, but I think the scriptures are, I really don't want to cut my hands off, so. The fourth one, hoarding is similar to, and I think this is one that maybe we're all more prone to. So maybe you're not a hovering kind of person. You don't want to hover. Like, Dr. Ward, I don't even have a cell phone. That's how cool I am, right? Cell phones are last some, I don't know. Okay. Dr. Ward, I'm busy. I'm putting my hands in. I'm volunteering at the soup kitchen. I am definitely not just hanging out. My hands aren't hanging. They're here. They're not doing this, they're here, they're working. I'm not hoarding, right? I'm pretty well adjusted. I'm not too focused on what happened in the past. I'm keeping my eyes on the future, but I'm not too consumed there. So I've got hovering taken care of. I've got hanging taken care of. I've got hoarding taken care of. I've seen hoarders. There's television shows about them. That's not me, okay? Well, the fourth one is holding on too tightly. I mean, immediately you're like, oh yeah, that doesn't seem good. Look at his hands. I don't want my hands to look like that. I'm holding on too tight to stuff. Think about it this way. What is a hug? What is a hug? I mean, you're like, oh, I've had one of those today. This is pretty good. Yeah, some people hugging in the back there. That's nice. Definitely hug each other. Hugs are rare. The older you get, fewer people want to hug you, right? So, oh, that's so true, right? I mean, I really wanted to hug my grandma, but I was like, I don't want to break you, you know? My grandma, I miss my grandma so much. But holding on too tight, right? What is a hug? Well, it's something special, but it's not too different from kidnapping, right? I mean, if someone hugged you and then didn't let go, you'd be like, oh, okay, wait, this is kidnapping, right? They're like, come on, you're with me. I'm like, no, please, put me down, okay? If you're small enough, you should really worry about that, okay? You can't do anything. If someone big enough picks you up, you're done, okay? Right? Okay? The difference between hug and kidnapping is the person's heart, right? The person's heart. It's your perspective. I want to have somebody's arms wrapped around me versus, please let me go. The hug versus kidnapping is the person's heart, and the hands are holding on tight. When I've had a bad hug before, I don't know if you've had a bad hug before, but it's kind of like, right? Or the bro hug, which is the most dangerous one. Someone goes in for this, and then they come in. It's like, but you got to keep the hand up, otherwise it's too low, and they're pressing. No good, okay? So I've had bad hugs, but you know what a good hug is like. You've had a good hug. It is not light. It is not afraid. It wraps around your body, no matter how weird it is, or big or small or bony or soft. A good hug holds you tight. Just like kidnapping, okay? But the difference is a person's heart. What are they going to do with you? A hug is to show you they love you. They love you. Kidnapping is, I don't know, lots of other things, okay? So, but they love you. This is the interesting thing, right? People hold on to all kinds of things too tightly. So a hug becomes kidnapping when someone won't let you go. But I want you to think about the other things that instead of hugging them and then saying, okay, now you can go your own way, you want to hold on to them. So One way to do this, it's an easy thing to do. I want to use the best example so that you're not confused about what it might be. You're like, oh yeah, Dr. Ward's going to say something like cell phones now, okay? Kids. People hold on to their kids too tightly. Maybe some of your parents have done this to you. And you're like, seriously, that's why I'm here in Geneva? Because I felt like I was being kidnapped. You think, Dr. Ward, how can you hold on to kids too tightly? Well, I mean, they're small. You can't actually crush them with your hands. You can do that. You don't want to. You want to hold them gently and firmly, but not too tight. Any living thing, really. If I was catching that mouse, I would hold it at least, you know, probably it was going to bite me, so maybe I would hold it really tightly. But you can imagine, you know, crushing something in your hands. But that's what holding on too tightly does to something. It crushes it. It kills it. And when we're back to square one, right, we're murderers. Now we're murderers again. Because we said, I can't let that thing go. I just need it so badly. My daughter has just confused a little bit right now. She thinks that a really good hug is like a crushing hug. She grits her teeth while she's hugging you. And then she tries to do that to my younger son. We're working on it, okay? We want him to survive to 1 year old. But the problem with holding on too tightly is that your hands become claws. And now you're just clawing things. And last time I checked, claws are way different than hands. Claws hurt people. They dig in. They tear. Not to mention being useless for picking things up. Right? If you have claws and you're trying to pick things up, you can't do it. But claws, they rend, they tear, they destroy. Holding on tightly, too tightly, turns your hands into claws, and then you can't put them to any good work except for clawing the thing that you don't want to let go. So here we come to our passage today. Peter, he's a prototypical church member. Peter's having trouble figuring out what the Lord wants him to do. I don't know if that's been your trouble. It's been my trouble at times in my life. He's trying to figure out what does the Lord want him to do. And it kind of seems like at these two instances, the one in Matthew and then the one in John, it seems like Jesus is setting a trap for Peter. Seems like he's setting a trap. I mean, Jesus knows everything, doesn't he? Does he want Peter to die? He's like, hey, Peter, come on out of the boat. That's hard water. The next step, soft water. You're walking on hard water. I can see the hard water. That's why I'm walking out here, right? But there's a puddle right there. You're going to step right in it. Go ahead, Peter. Step in that hard. That's soft water. You got to know the difference about these things. Hard water, soft water, right? Hard water you can walk on. Soft water you can't. It seems like a trap. Why would Jesus want Peter to get out of the boat and then fall down in the water? It's kind of a mean trick. Jesus wants Peter to fall down. He wants him to fall down. Second instance, which is more akin to the work that I do, asking questions over and over and over again and giving different answers every time. And it feels like a trap. It feels like someone is trapping you. And also there's these other things that are kind of unkind, right? That Seems like, you know, why would Jesus be asking Peter to do those things? I mean, first of all, he's just shown Peter that he's a better fisherman, right? Earlier on in the story, Peter fishes all night long. He fishes all night long, and there is no fish. Peter says, "This is my vocation. I know how to fish. I fished all night long, and my hands are empty." And Jesus says, "I'll throw your net over there." Pulls in a bunch of fish. And then Peter's like, "Wait a second. The only person that could do that is Jesus. Jesus, is that you?" And he just busts out of the boat. He forgets that you can't walk on water, right? And he just jumps out of the boat. Swims, runs, whatever. He just can't wait to see Jesus. I just think, why does Peter want to see Jesus? He seems like the kind of guy that would trick you. He tricks you, right? He's setting traps for you. Right? Not to mention the fact that in the answers to these questions, "Peter, do you love me?" then Jesus is proposing a vocational change. He's like, "I know you're a fisherman. Hey, by the way, why don't you start working with sheep?" Peter's like, "What? What? Didn't you just see I was in a boat, I had a net, I was fishing. Okay, I wasn't getting anything. And now you're saying I should be a shepherd? I don't know what's going on here. Of course I love you. Of course I do. Of course I do. Well, then be a shepherd." "I love you, though." Peter is grieved because Jesus is asking him to do something that he feels like it's impossible. "How can I prove to you that I love you?" And Jesus says, "It's easy. Just follow me. Just follow me. That's all. Just follow me." What does this have to do with hands? Well, because hands that aren't deadly are hands that help Jesus. Does Jesus need our help? No, he doesn't really need our help, but he wants us to help him. He wants you to help him. He wants you to live into your life as if he has set forth a purpose for you, a life that he has planned. A life that he doesn't want you to move through as fast as possible, hovering over every moment as if it's just another thing to share. He certainly doesn't want you to say, "My life is impossible, Jesus, I just can't do it." He's saying, "I gave that to you. I gave you the life you have. And I'm asking you to do something with it." Jesus has said plenty of things about hoarding, right? And holding on too tight. Plenty of things. Right? Jesus, in other words, this is what he's saying in John. In other words, he is saying, "Peter, I want you to let go and fall down and die." Pick up your cross. Follow me. And Peter says, "That feels like dying." Exactly. But here's the problem. If you are crucified by the thing that Jesus has asked you to do, your hovering hands, they won't be able to hover. They'll be pinned down. They won't be hanging at your sides. They'll be spread wide open. They won't be full of stuff. They'll be empty. And if you're in that state, you won't even have the strength to hold on to anything. And Jesus says, you don't have to. I am holding you. I am holding you. I am holding you. You don't need your hands for those things. You don't need your hands for those things. I am holding your life. And the testimony of Scripture. Luke 17:33, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will keep it. Why is Jesus holding on to you? Why is he holding you? You have to ask him first. He wants you to want to be held. Right? The hug, not the kidnapping. Jesus wants to hug you. He can. He's a person. He's alive. He's real. He's in a body. Jesus can hug people. He wants to hug you. Why is he holding on to you the way that he is? Because when someone is holding you up, when someone is holding you, then your hands are free. They're free to be about the work of the kingdom. They're free to help others and to serve the Lord. They're free to do things that you thought were impossible. They're free to stand still and dig in and do work. They're free to let things go and hold on to things, but lightly. They're free hands. And those kinds of hands, they're not deadly. The reason they're free is because Jesus has freed them. And because they are free hands, they don't kill things. They give people life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today in which your word has spoken to our hearts and to our minds. Help us, Lord, to use our hands. We understand, Lord, that our hearts are where our hands are. Help us, Lord, to understand that what our hands are about are also the condition of our heart. And Lord, speak to us today that any one of us here who has yet to understand the freedom that is available through your salvation, through the holding hands and the gracefulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, let them come to you now. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.